looking at methods, what our methods should be. We see that every method must consist of a proper approach, and we looked at that at the very beginning of this series. Proper approach is necessary in order to make proper observation. All these are connected. Proper observation leads to proper interpretation, and proper interpretation leads to proper application. And if we make proper application, then we're ready to start the cycle all over again when we have a proper approach. So it's just a continuous cycle. We've seen that our method should be with great carefulness, careful not to lift Scripture out of context, careful not to wrongly define words, phrases. Should be orderly, systematically, because the Bible's written in an orderly and systematic fashion. It should be meditative. By that we mean our mind ought to be engaged in reading the Scriptures. That's true while we're reading the Scriptures. That's true after we're done reading the Scriptures. Our mind ought to be engaged, and many people think, well, of course, but people read all the time without having their mind really engaged in what they're reading. And that's fine if you're reading the newspaper, but it's not fine if you're reading the Word of God. Our minds need to be engaged in what we're reading. The truth is, many read the newspaper with a more engaged mind than they do the Scriptures. Our method of study should be precise, very precise. And that leads us into the various types of Bible study. And though there are preferences, we all have preferences. There are preferences for certain types of study. One may prefer one type over another type. But no one should limit themselves to one type of study. In fact, if you take these types of study and if you do them properly, if you do them thoroughly, it will lead into another type of study, and before you know it, you've done all the types of study. So again, though I prefer one type of study, but do not limit yourself to one type of study. But no matter what type we choose, the principles remain the same. That is a proper approach. No matter what type you choose, there still needs to be a proper approach. Still needs to be observation. Still needs to be interpretation. And there still needs to be application. That is, you and I conforming to whatever it is that we're studying. That's the goal of all Bible study, is to apply, to conform to what the Scriptures teach. So I want to look at some various types of study in the next couple of weeks. The first, and these aren't in order of preference or anything like that. There's what is known, of course, as a topical study, where you just study a particular topic. The topics are endless. That you might choose to study. There are, as we've already mentioned, there are some dangers in a topical study. Many are very likely in a topical study to ignore context as they go through the verses that have something to say concerning the topic that they're studying, and that's a danger. And this is where, again, people come up with proof texts, and many times their proof text doesn't prove anything because they've taken it out of context. So there is a danger of a topical study. That being said, topical study can be very, very beneficial. But as we'll see, again, as we've already said, if you do it properly, if you do it thoroughly, and I believe all Bible studies should be thorough, if you do it thoroughly, one type will lead into another. So, of course, the first thing we need to do in a topical study is to select the topic. That's the first thing. How do you do that? Well, the best way is to do it prayerfully. You pray. What topic God would have you to study? No Bible study should just be random. That's true with a topical study. And you'll find if you do a topical study, and if you're thorough, that topical study will probably lead into another topic that may be connected with that particular topic that you're studying. So first of all, you have to select a topic. A topical Bible, not necessary, but it certainly is a good source of reference to purchase a good topical Bible. Certainly helps. A concordance, not just the concordance in the back of your Bibles. You ever notice the concordance in the back of your Bibles has every word but the word you need at the time? I mean, that's the truth. But if you get a good concordance, certainly that's helpful with a topical study. So we've got a topic. You can have other sources. Again, a topical Bible, concordance. Not necessary, but very, very helpful. You need to notice and you need to begin with the first place that the general topic occurs in Scripture. That's the best place to begin. The first place that the general topic appears. Let's say, for example, we're going to do a study on the topic of covetousness. I'm going to do a study on the topic of covetousness. The first thing we need to, where we need to begin is, where is the first time that the word covetousness is mentioned in the Bible? There is the law of first mention. Most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, when a subject is first mentioned, there's something very, very important in the first mention of that subject, and many times something that you can build upon. Notice in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, this would be the first time that the word covetousness appears in the Word of God. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God and of truth, hating covetousness. Okay, so the very first time that the word covetousness appears in the Bible, we see hating covetousness. So we now know from the very first verse that it is something to be hated. We need to make note of that. We need to make note of that. It's something that we can build upon. From there, you want to study every verse, but not just the verse, the passage around the verse, so we keep everything in context. Now you want to study everywhere where the topic appears, in whatever form it appears. Again, taking the example of covetousness. If you were to look in a concordance, you would see that the very word covetousness appears 19 times. So you need to go to those 19 verses. Again, not just reading the verse, but the verses around it as well, so that we keep everything in context. So we have the word covetousness. So we're going to write down, list 19 verses. We're going to study those verses. Now that's going to take a while. To do a thorough study of 19 verses is not something you do in 5 minutes. Now, many times when people do a topical Bible study, here's what they do. They look up the word covetousness, they jot down the 19 verses, they read them briefly. I've done a study on covetousness. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. If you're going to be thorough, it's going to take some time to get through these 19 verses. Well, then we've got to look at words, the word covetousness, how it's used in different places. You'd have the word covet. That would fall under our topic of covetousness. And the word covet appears 8 times. So you would, now you study those verses and the passages relating to them. You have the word coveted, appears 3 times. The word covetous appears 2 times. And the word coveteth appears 2 times, and word covetous 9 times. That's a total of 41 verses. So our topic of covetousness, just to start, and it's going to branch out from there, but just to start, we have 41 verses. And we haven't even gotten into words that relate to the topic of covetousness. So we have 41 verses where some form of the word covet appears. So if we're going to do a thorough topical study, we're going to write down these 41 verses. We're going to read those verses. We're going to read the passages surrounding those verses so we keep everything in context. And we want to, as we read those verses, we want to list, good in a topical study, really in any study of the Bible, it's good to make lists. They come in they're very, very helpful. Make lists. You have to observe words in order to make lists. The Bible is filled with lists. A single verse is filled with lists. If you learn to notice, and if you learn to look for lists. The good thing about a list is it creates an immediate outline. I mean, you once you form a list, you have an outline. And once you train your mind and once you train your eyes to look for lists, the word "and" is indicative of a list, then we've now been able to put some key thoughts together. So we list key thoughts in the passage where the topic appears. Now, in order to do that, if the word is a verb, if you're looking at the verse where it's in verb form, then you want to study the adverbs. It tells you something about that verb. If the word is in noun form, you want to study the adjectives that describe that noun. And by doing that, you can again begin to make a list. Notice in Proverbs chapter 21. Again, this is just a very small example of a topical study. But in Proverbs 21, verse 26, he coveteth, that's a verb, something he does. How does he do this? He coveteth greedily. Okay, we need to put that together. Covetousness and greed now go hand in hand. So that expands our topical study. Now we can also begin to look up any word that is related to greed. Include that also in our topical study. This is why I envy people who, preachers who can do surveys. I can't do it. I'm not a survey person. I have started out many times with a survey and it turns into 2 years. It doesn't work for me. But and the more you expand out your topic, soon your survey is shot. You're no longer in a survey. It's something much deeper, and that's not criticizing a survey. So we list key thoughts. Then we need to define key terms in the passage where the topic appears. Isaiah 57, verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness. There's a word there that ought to, of course, we're looking at covetousness. That's our topic. The iniquity of his covetousness. Now, to expand our topic, we need to look at iniquity. What is iniquity? And it describes why we, again, the law first mentioned, why we should hate covetousness. So we need to identify or define that term, iniquity. Notice in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. We need to define those terms. Heed and beware. Again, it gets back to our original first mention that we are to hate covetousness. Now we have the iniquity of covetousness. And if you study out the word iniquity, you see why you're to hate it. And then we see danger. Covetousness is dangerous. The very word beware of covetousness, that's danger. Anytime you see the word beware, if you have any sense at all, that there's a possible danger that exists. Beware. So covetousness is dangerous. Again, and you just keep expanding your topic, you can then get into, start to list all the ways that it is dangerous. And you would do so by looking at examples in the Word of God of covetousness. In Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, we see that covetousness proceeds from the heart. So it's something that starts inward. And then you see several things that are mentioned there with covetousness, such as fornication and adulteries and on it goes. And in a topical study, it's always good to list what is mentioned with your topic, and that gives you, again, a clear picture of your topic. So we define key terms. Now we begin with 41 passages. The passages begin to grow as you expand out. But as you read those 41 passages, you need to observe, and you need to summarize wherever the topic appears. Just make a brief summary of what is being said. And then, of course, as you do that with the 41 verses, you do a brief summary of 41 verses, and you have something. You just in a brief summary, you have something concerning your topic. Then, of course, you're going to want to study related topics. This thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. In Colossians chapter 3, we are told that covetousness is idolatry. So now we're told what covetousness is. It is idolatry. So it seems to me that if you're doing a topical study on covetousness and someone tells you covetousness is idolatry, well, now I need to do a study on idolatry, because that's what covetousness is. Now, idolatry, as far as a topic in the Bible, is much larger than covetousness. So again, your topic of covetousness has now grown into studying idolatry also, because covetousness is idolatry. So it seems to me that we need to define idolatry. So again, you see how studying one topic leads, though it is related, it leads to studying another topic. Need to study the opposite topic. Whenever you study a topic, study its opposite. What is the opposite of covetousness? Would be contentment. Well, that's quite a large study also. Now we have to look up the words content, contentment, and all the related words, because that's its opposite. If you were going to do a study on pride, what is its opposite? Humility. It's really pretty hard to have a thorough study on pride without doing a study on its opposite, humility. Many times we don't really fully understand the subject until we look at its opposite. And it becomes clear as we look at its opposite. Also, look for repeated phrases. This is true all the time. All the time. I love when people say, that preacher repeats himself, amen. He ought to. Read your Bible. It repeats itself over and over and over and over again. I don't know if you've ever read the 7 laws of teaching. What is the number one law? Repetition. 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 Follow the teachings of Christ. Repetition. Look for repeated phrases. Look for repeated phrases concerning the topic. Look for them. For example, in Jeremiah 6, verse 13, and in Jeremiah 8 and verse 10, we have repeated phrases that they are given to covetousness. The young and the old are given to covetousness. That's repeated in those verses. So we need to look for these repeated phrases. And again, and we'll close, but a thorough, and again, I believe all Bible studies should be thorough, a thorough topical study will always branch out into other topical studies. Now, my favorite type of study is just verse by verse by verse. But if you do a topical study and you read those verses, you soon find yourself doing a verse study. So again, they all, if you do it correctly, they overlap. You may begin with a verse study, but every verse has a subject. That's a topic. And it can very easily turn into a topical study. Next week we'll look at character study, a study of a Bible character. Again, there are many different types, there are many different ways that we can study the Word of God. But whatever method we choose, there has to be a proper approach, proper observation, proper interpretation, proper application. And it should be thorough. It should be precise. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We are so privileged, so blessed in this country to have access to your word. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can read it, that we can study it. And, Lord, we thank you that you do show us what you would have us to know through your word. And we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to be more diligent in the study of your word. We pray, Lord, as we worship you this day, that you'd help us. Lord, that you would help us to exalt thee and honor thee and bring glory to your name in everything that we do this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.